You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romilla, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. On Sunday night, the Miami Heat took on the Atlanta Hawks and got some good news before the game. Tyler Hero would be available after missing the last three games, but as so often is the case, bad news soon followed that Jimmy Butler would miss the game due to a sore knee. Goran Dragic would start in his place. At first, Butler's absence wasn't even all that noticeable. There was some great ball movement, early shooting from Kendrick Nunn, and he led all scorers with 27 points. But the Hawks soon matched Miami's hot start. But the Heat responded, just as they usually do with Jimmy out on the floor. The Heat built a 15-point lead in the second quarter and looked to be cruising to an easy win. But then John Collins, the subject of a lot of rumors and Heat fan hopes, just went off. He scored 19 of his 34 points in the third quarter, and Atlanta held a one-point lead with just over 4 minutes left in the period. The two teams went back and forth from that point on until midway through the fourth quarter, with the Heat building a small cushion until Trae Young, who had been very quiet all game, he had just 6 points through three quarters, started to get a very generous whistle, and he shot 7 free throws in the fourth quarter. A Collins three had the game tied at 95 with 2.5 minutes left, but Miami once again responding with a fantastic effort, ending the game with a 14-4 run with Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo, Goran Dragic, and Tyler Hero all scoring, making key defensive plays, and they were able to pull away with a 109-99 victory, the team's 6th straight win. The Heat are the hottest team in the NBA right now, and they stay 5th in the Eastern Conference standings, just a half game below the New York Knicks, who have gone 7-3 in their last 10 games, just as Miami has. Look, it's bad enough that the Knicks, they're a rather sore subject on Heat Twitter right now after a New York media person of some kind insinuated that Julius Randle, who is having a very, very good season and was named an All-Star for the first time this year, is having as good a season as anyone that Chris Bosh ever had, which is frankly ludicrous. I don't even want to give it much credit other than to say I hate this thing now. I know it's Twitter, social media in general, perhaps, where you can't have good things because as soon as you have a good thing, you want to compare it to everything else. What is it? The expression, comparison is the thief of joy. Stop comparing things. Julius Randle is fine. He's not Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh is a Hall of Fame player. He's had a great career. He would have had an even better career if injuries hadn't taken their toll. But any one of his seasons really outdistances what Randle does, which isn't to say that Randle is a bad player. Just enjoy it. The Knicks are going to be a fine team. Hopefully they'll be able to continue to get better. I don't care one way or the other. New York has had plenty of success. They've had plenty of misery. Let them win a few games this season. If that's enough for them to feel satisfied, that's fine. I just don't want them making outlandish claims that knocks one of the best players in Heat franchise history. And one of the best players over the last 15 years of the NBA. It's just his versatility, his scoring, everything he does. Like, we can't stop treating this guy badly. From Shaquille O'Neal's ignorant comments, you know, calling him a half, two and a half, Miami's big 2.5, to, you know, challenging his manhood because he doesn't play in a low post. Shaq is such a buffoon, you know. The kind of buffoonery that comes with his huge size, where he just feels like he's able to say anything, but he has no idea what he's talking about, despite his career, despite the fact that he did play the game and that he played it at such a high level. That does not entitle you, nor does it enable you to make, you know, credible analysis of either players or teams or the game in general. Really, it doesn't. And we've seen that time and time again. Just because you're a good player doesn't make you a good analyst, doesn't make you a good coach either. You just were able to play very well. In his case, because he was pretty damn big. Chris Bosh is a fantastic player, had a fantastic career. And to the New York person who was so, I don't know, on whatever drugs he was on, I hope he can get some more because he's going to need them after taking this massive loss. As far as the game itself is concerned, look, just, it's a great game. It really was. Miami really responded. That, to me, is the big takeaway from all this, is that with Jimmy Butler, you're not quite sure because, well, let's be honest, Miami had struggled a lot without Jimmy during those 3 weeks when he wasn't playing. when he was in the health and safety protocols. But you know what? This was a fantastic all-around effort. You just got a lot of big performances from a lot of different people. Whether it was Tyler coming back in his first game, and look, he was pressing at first. He looked like he was really forcing the shot, trying to take it to the rim, got swatted by John Collins and Kent Capella both. Both of whom are, you know, obviously they're very good. Well, they have very great size. Capella's a solid defender, very good defender. Collins is not, and he was still just able to anticipate Hero's drive to the hoop. He was aggressive, and I understand that. He was, you know, rusty after a few games off, wanted to make a point, wanted to chip in. Eventually, he got his opportunity, made some really clutch shots, and I think that's just that's who Tyler is. Even if he was 2 of 8 before that, he was still willing to take 2 big shots at the end of the game just to seal the deal. Also hit some big free throws there, finished 4 of 4 from the line, 2 of 4 from 3-point range. So a solid shooting night from him. Kendrick Nunn, 24 great points from him. Just a really, really good effort. Kelly Olynyk even did his share, even though he continues to struggle from the 3-point line. I don't know what to do about him. Bam Adebayo, 16 points. Goran, 13 points. Everybody chipping in. 5 players in double digits, including Precious Achiuwa, who looked like a monster in 12 minutes of play. I'm not sure why he didn't get more playing time, because he was such an active body defensively. He got to the line 7 times against Collins. He was just getting fouled. He was just active around the hoop. Always, you know, breaking up passes, finished with 7 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block, and only 1 turnover. That's really efficient basketball for a rookie. I'm not sure what the hell Spoelstra was saying. I don't know why he didn't play him more often. That's a whole other discussion. I'll probably get into some of that in the next segment when I answer some of your listener questions. But overall, Miami just did a phenomenal job getting key contributions from key players at just the right time. This is a defining moment for the team. Built off of their Utah win, built over their win over the Los Angeles Lakers a couple weeks ago, they just continue to find ways to get better and better. And this is the best version of this team that we've seen so far this season. They've won 6 games. They're cohesive. They're playing well together. They're sharing the ball. I'm not sure how many, let me see how many assists they had during the game, but it just seemed like they were moving the ball so much more swiftly. It wasn't exactly 33 assists to 39 main field goals. That's phenomenal work there. I'm missing that wrong. Sorry. 27 assists to 39 made field goals. So I blew it there in the stat read. My bad. Overall, though, it just looked like they were moving the ball. There was a lot of off-ball cutting. Duncan Robinson had another one of those great layups at the rim where he just has a sharp cut there, and Bam is able to find him so perfectly. There were lots of plays like that from Nunn where he was able to really just – he had 7 assists again. 24 assists over the last 4 games from Kendrick Nunn. He just had 1 assist the last game, but he had 7 the game before that and 9 before that. That's pretty damn good. Like, if you take away that one game where he had 1 assist, you could say he had 23 assists over 3 games. That's – pretty fantastic work for him. Almost 8 assists per game. I mean, this is just a whole other level to Nunn that we had not seen last year at all. And as long as he can continue to become a competent playmaker, especially tonight when there was no Jimmy Butler in the lineup, just a phenomenal performance. Now, I'll say for Atlanta, I should address the Collins situation because he had a phenomenal game. I don't know why he was inspired. Maybe he was auditioning for the Miami Heat. Maybe he is on their radar. It's hard to tell. Obviously, this team is not going to leak a lot of secrets. I don't think they're putting a package together to try and get John Collins, but it also wouldn't surprise me considering he's entering restricted free agency. And it doesn't look like it doesn't look like Atlanta is going to extend him or offer him a significant amount of money. So they might want to trade him in order to see, you know, they might match whatever offer sheet he signs. So it's possible they could just be waiting and just gauging the market to see whether or not there's any interest from other teams. If he gets a big offer from another team, maybe they'll just let him go for nothing. It wouldn't surprise me. They've got other options there that they could fill in at the 4 eventually. They just signed Danilo Gallinari, of course. They've got another player. They've got some players there who can fill in, and they can always add somebody else, theoretically, in free agency. But as far as, you know, Collins is concerned, I think he'd be a fine player next to Miami. I just don't see that it's a legitimate option this season. I like the idea of him next to Bam. He's a great scorer. He's got this size, right? Maybe he's inconsistent, but Miami's culture can get the most out of him. I've heard it all before. I understand that logic completely, even though he's been so inconsistent, especially defensively, throughout his first few years in Atlanta. He's also a local guy. Yeah, I've brought up these points before. I totally understand that perspective. I just don't know that you want to do this in-season trade. Like, this isn't the same kind of seamless fit as bringing in a guy like, you know, James Harden, you know, who's going to take over your team, and all of a sudden, you know, he knows what to do with the ball in his hands. With Collins, it's a little different. Do you want to trade Precious and whatever it takes in order to acquire a player like Collins? I suppose. I just, for me, I would rather wait for the offseason. I don't think that's even realistic considering he's entering free agency. So maybe a sign and trade. I don't know. I'm not quite savvy enough on the whole protocols there regarding restricted free agency. So I'm not even sure if that's a possibility. But it's an interesting idea. The hometown aspect of it certainly adds another element for Heat fans. I just don't see it as happening. I think they're still targeting somebody along the lines of a Jay Crowder who can fill in there, play those minutes at the four, stretch the floor, play versatile defense, etc. I don't know. For Miami, just focus on the win, baby. I mean, who knows if they even need an addition at this point. Yes, probably they do. They could probably add another four. I think we're starting to see some great minutes from Precious over the last couple of games. Hopefully he'll continue to trend in that direction. I think he's trying to make a statement to Eric Spoelstra. I'm not sure if it's sticking around. I'm not sure if Spoelstra's noticed or not. I'm not sure if Spoelstra really cares. Maybe he's just tweaking him in the right situation so that he can get the most out of him. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Spo loves to challenge players and see how they'll respond. That's a big teaching principle for him. So, you know, I'll talk about Precious Achiuwa and Gabe Vincent and more in the next segment when I answers your questions here on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest news, rumors, and more. Wouldn't it be great if there was a pocket-sized guy that just helped you sleep or focus or act better? Well, there is. And you've got 10 minutes. Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. It's the only meditation app advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you. If you're overwhelmed, Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need some help falling asleep, and I did, Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. I found out about Headspace through Sesame Street. They've got a partnership with Sesame Street, a fantastic show. And while we try to limit our television at time for my 2-year-old son, the breathing exercise that they advocate for kids are such a great relief. Maybe they're for older kids. They even show that kids can get stressed just like adults before them, but Headspace helps you focus. They keep you mindful of the situation and they tell you how to relax so that you can go ahead and tackle the challenges of the day. And if you just need to calm down at night to help fall asleep, well, Headspace is the app for you. They're backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to their full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal being offered right now, so head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but college basketball and the NHL as well as the NBA are in full swing. You want to bet on the slam dunk contest? Go to betonline.ag. They even cover award and TV shows and reality TV, real-time updated odds, and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Remember to use that promo code LOCKEDON next time you go to BetOnline. Cover everything you need to know about the Heat. But what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. And just a heads up, a recording note for us, I'll be recording an episode on Tuesday with Nikias Duncan. So make sure you subscribe and be on the lookout for that. Should be a great conversation. Of course, you probably follow Nikias if you're listening to this podcast, but he's got a really sharp mind, breaks down film very well, has been covering the Heat for a while. Now he's expanded his coverage to the rest of the NBA. He's been doing a phenomenal job on his own podcast as well as the basketballnews.com. So you probably are fully aware of what he is and what he does. But anyway, he'll be on the show tomorrow, so that should be a great conversation. I wanted to get to some of your listener questions because you all did a phenomenal job. I put out the call midway during the game, didn't get much response, a couple questions here and there, and then everybody just sent some in when I retweeted it again a few minutes later. So phenomenal job. Thank you so much to everybody. This first one comes in from Arda, who asks, Are you worried about Jimmy's injury history? Heck yes. It's two ways of looking about it, right? Like, he's still going to have big games because that's just who Jimmy Butler is. And his playing style as far as earning free throws and occasionally coming up with big shots, always pushing himself, a test of wills with him and his body constantly challenging. I think he's going to come up with the occasional big game, similarly to what we saw with Dwayne towards the real tail end of his career. But I think Jimmy's minutes have been different. You know, obviously, the Thibodeau thing, playing for Tom Thibodeau, gets exaggerated. It's easy to make a joke about it. There's a lot of wear and tear. We saw what happened with Lou Alding. He kind of degraded a little bit towards the tail end of his career. I think it happens. And we've seen injuries from Derrick Rose, too. You can attribute those to Tibbs if you want to. I don't know. Look, it's a tough conversation. And conversely, you've got a player like Taj Gibson, who's 36 years old, I think, and still playing. You know, not great. Maybe he never really had those kind of minutes as Jimmy did, but, you know, he played for Thibodeau, and I think it's a fair concern. Maybe some players respond, maybe others don't. Either way, with Jimmy's injuries, they seem to keep racking up. I don't think this ankle issue, is a significant one. I think it's been a lingering thing. I don't think he tweaked it anyway, just probably a little sore, and they said, you know what, let's go out on a good note. We don't want to risk anything prior to the All-Star break. We could take a couple games off, maybe. Maybe he'll be back on Tuesday against the Hawks when they have that rematch. I'm not sure. I just, with Jimmy's injuries, it's not necessarily even about the injuries. It's the fact that so much money is being paid towards Jimmy, and deservedly so because he's phenomenal. But so much of what this team does is based on Jimmy's ability to contribute everything and every way that he does. Defensively, as a playmaker, as the team's occasional leading scorer, like, he can take over games. And this is the version of this team that you have. This is the version of this team that you're moving forward with. You didn't make that trade for James Harden because maybe you didn't have enough to acquire him. But your team is based on Jimmy Butler, the superstar. You've got a next tier level star in Bam Adebayo who isn't quite ready to take over games. He's still so young. There's still plenty of room for him to grow, and that's all fair when it comes to the conversation regarding Bam. But Jimmy, you know, he is the straw that stirs the drink. And if that straw is bent and out of shape and has a hole in it, well, you're not going to be stirring shit after that. So it's absolutely a concern for me. And I just hope that he can somehow wind up taking enough rest here and there, which is why I'm glad he didn't get picked as an All-Star. I don't necessarily know anything about the report that Jimmy had the All-Star appearance turned down, that he already offered it to him, and he turned it down because of Bam. In any case, I'll move on from that conversation. It's not one I'm willing to have. He's not going, and that's great because he needs the rest. He could absolutely use it, let him focus. He'll probably work out anyway. Maybe he'll, you know, wind up traveling for a little bit. He still has to take regular tests because that's just mandatory at this point in time. So I'm not sure what options are available to him. I think they are asking players also to stay in their home markets. Let's assume Jimmy at least can stay a week in Miami without getting into too much trouble and hopefully not getting hurt. Anyway, this next question comes in from OG Killer. That's a nice name. Kendrick's defensive improvement has helped the defense significantly. Do you think he has a future with Miami? That's a $1 million question, isn't it? A multi-$1 million question, actually, when you think about it. You know, he's shown so much here. And I feel like this is, I remember a month or so ago when Kendrick was really struggling, maybe even a little bit more than that. And I kept getting questions saying, you know, why is he going to Kendrick? What does Eric Spoelstra see in Kendrick? What does Kendrick have on Spo? What pictures does he have in a safe somewhere that forces Spo to play him as many minutes as he was? Well, I think this is what we're seeing. This is, as I mentioned at the time, the way that Spo talks about his grit, his tenacity, his Chicago nature, all this stuff. He has always appreciated Kendrick the person for persevering, for being able to achieve everything that he has, for getting to this point, and just consistently working, trying to get better. And that he was struggling at some point, I think really pained Spo in a way. Like, he probably would have wanted to give Kendrick all those minutes and just didn't feel comfortable because, well, let's be honest, Kendrick was struggling. Even before his COVID diagnosis, when he was injured in February around the All-Star break, he was struggling, never quite seemed to get into any rhythm. Then once the Orlando bubble convened, he was struggling there as well. Early this season, looked terrible. You know, first, last, always looking to score, not dishing the ball, not playing great defense. All those things have changed. Over the last few weeks, I mean, again, 24 assists over four games. That's this team having another lead ball handler that can initiate offense for everybody. Now that you have that aspect back, you have that drive and kick game that so much of the offense is precipitated on, where you're you know, able to drive the ball to the rim. We've seen Kendrick finish, not just with dunks, but the way he can finish around the basket. He had that understanding that I made a note about from Tyler before, where he wasn't able to recognize, well, shit, Capella's in my way. Maybe I shouldn't try to lay it up over him. And John Collins is my way. Maybe I shouldn't try to lay it up over him. Kendrick had it. When Capella was going up against him, he said, you know what? Hell with this. I'm not going up against one of the top, you know, shot blockers in the league. He dumped it off to Bam and got an easy layup there, or an easy dunk, or Precious maybe. I'm not sure which one of the two, but either way, he wound up making the smart play, something that Tyler couldn't have done or didn't do. So I'm seeing absolute improvement to OG's question here, not just defensively, but also as a playmaker. As a scorer, you know, he's going to have his off days. I think there's still a need for him to stabilize there. I'm not sure I'm ready to say he's going to be a consistent scorer, because I still think, look, the last game he struggled offensively as a scorer, was still able to make plays, you know, for others, and seemed like he was going to be a factor. You know, does Miami re-sign him at this point? I don't know. This next question from King Ron asks, do you sell high on Nunn if it lands you Victor Oladipo? You know, this is the conflict from Heat fans. It's like you're seeing Nunn take another level of his development, but he's not a quote-unquote superstar. And so you're wondering whether or not it's time to sell high, as King Ron points out. Look, I don't think Miami and Pat Riley and the front office have any loyalty to anybody. Nobody's untouchable in this team other than Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I think they don't want to trade Goran. I think they would if they had to, but I don't know what kind of deal they're going to be able to get in place for him. Like, it might pain them to deal a guy like Goran, considering everything he's done for this franchise over the last six seasons, but if they could get a star in exchange for a group of players, including Goran, I think they'd do it. I think they'd do it with Kendrick in a heartbeat, too. I think if I had to guess, their option would be to avoid signing Kendrick and Duncan for a lot of money this offseason and hoping to get some other player that can contribute and push the ceiling of this team a little higher. I don't want to say that at their respective ages that Duncan and Kendrick have plateaued. I just don't know what else. Like, we're seeing flashes from Duncan where he's trying to incorporate more shooting. He's cutting to the rim. He's doing other things as an offensive player. I just don't know how much you're going to be able to actually get a well-rounded, versatile version of a player. Like, he's done great defensively. And I think I made this point against the Utah Jazz in the recap of that game. He had key moments in the fourth quarter where he was active, he was playing great defense, and I think Spo felt comfortable trotting him out there and knowing that he wasn't going to be exposed, that he wasn't a clear weakness there. So I think that your second option is to re-sign Duncan and Kendrick. If they get other offers elsewhere, you have to let him go. I think your first priority is probably to add another established star that would probably push the ceiling a little bit higher on this team. So to King Ron's question, do I sell high on Kendrick Nunn if it lands you Depot? I don't know. That's a tough one because I have concerns. Depot does not look great in Houston, did not look great at times in Indiana. You wonder whether or not he's just done. Like, we're basing a lot of what we expect out of Victor Oladipo on one really good season. He wasn't great in Orlando. He was downright not good in Oklahoma City. Then he wound up having one phenomenal offseason training at DBC Fitness that wound up taking him to another level. He achieved all-star status for one season in Indiana. Then he got hurt. And since then, it's been up and down, up and down. And I don't know what's next for him. I think Miami could get him to stay up. I think they could get him to focus. I just don't know what's going on. I don't know if he has that next level. My feeling is that he could. And if he's just a really, really good version of the player that he was during that All-Star campaign, Miami would absolutely benefit from that. Do you want to pay him $25 to $30 million a year? Probably not. And so I just don't see any possibility of Miami going after a player like that when there's so many questions about him. Look, to King Ron, he added something else to his question. He says, with the idea that whatever Kendrick is right now is what the Heat development team brought out of him. And he says that to say that don't worry about what Oladipo is now. So King Ron isn't concerned about Victor Oladipo. He thinks that Miami could take him and get him to be the best version of himself. It's a possibility. It's a very legitimate thought. I think he has a really good point that maybe he comes in here and all of a sudden he's transformed. Look, one of the first trades that this team made when Pat Riley took over 95, acquiring Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway was being called washed in Golden State because he had lingering knee issues and, you know, he was unmotivated, etc. Well, he got him and they got a pretty good career out of him here. They got him in better shape. And I think Miami feels they could probably do the same thing. You know, some players, I was listening to Julius Randle talk in a recent episode of the J.J. Redick podcast, Old Man and the Three, and Randle was saying, he was talking about Tibbs, ironically enough, and he was saying that for him, he needed a guy like Tibbs to push him, to hold him accountable, that he played for Luke Walton, he played for Alvin Gentry in New Orleans, and those guys probably took a lot of step back. They were maybe what they called a so-called player's coach because they kind of give breaks here and there. Some players need to be held accountable, and it gets the very best out of them. Not everybody is a LeBron James that can self-motivate. And because of that, when you have a noted taskmaster like Eric Spoelstra or Tom Thibodeau, it's going to force you to take another level in development. And maybe that's what happens with Oladipo here. I'm not so sure. I waffle on it. I say right now, today, given that Kendrick is playing as well as he is, I would not sell high. I would not try to get Oladipo. I think the team would. I wouldn't personally. This next question comes in from Greg St. Jean. He writes in, do you think we are putting Precious in the same situation we did Bam when we first got him, where he has more to his game that we aren't letting him take advantage of? That's a possibility. I don't think, you know, Bam was always very interesting with him. Like after I talked to him last year when he was first starting to get the significant playing time as a starter, you know, he told me that he was finally off the leash, that Spo was letting him off the leash. I don't know how much of that is true. Like, is he saying that Spoelstra would bench him if he had taken a 10-foot, you know, jab step jumper during his first or second year when he was backing up Hassan Whiteside? I don't think so. Like, I think the leash is his. Like, he's the one who was keeping him from reaching that next level. He was the one who wasn't comfortable enough with his offense where he was taking those shots, and that's why he wasn't getting those opportunities. Now that he's starting, and maybe he feels comfortable, hell, he wasn't doing it last year either. Like, his game is expanding, and I don't think Spoelstra's got any leash on him. I think Spoelstra has given him a lot of leeway and freedom to run the team the way he sees fit. Unfortunately, he just hasn't always had the confidence, perhaps not even had the developed fine-tuned skill to shoot the way he has been this season. And look, it's stagnated a little bit, so it's not exactly as consistent as it once was. So there's room for growth there for sure. As far as Precious is concerned, I don't know what else there is to his game right now. It just seems like he is a big energy big. To me, like, I don't know if the comparison's ever been made. And I was thinking about this against the Lakers when we played. Why isn't he compared to a Montrezl Harrell? Like, to me, they're very identical. Just guys that have constant motor, maybe don't have a lot of polish in their game, but because of their athleticism, because of their overall length and touch, they just seem to have a knack for pulling down rebounds and getting a chance to go to the line and score. Like, Harrell can't hit an 18-footer even though he takes the occasional three. I wouldn't trust Precious shooting from a jumper either, but he still gets his points. He certainly did against the Hawks. I don't know how much of that is the team saying, we don't want you out there doing this, that, or the other. I think that's just Precious sticking to his strengths. And I don't know if there was an opportunity for him to do more and he wasn't doing it, I don't think we would have seen something from him in those limited opportunities that he had playing alongside Bam or when he takes over for Bam. It's like, well, if you're going to fill the Bam role, fill the Bam role. Do all the things that he does, not just work 5 feet around the basket and pulling down rebounds and getting second chance points and or lobs being thrown at you. Like, those are all great. They're all great sources of offense, but you need to occasionally stretch the floor a little bit too. And right now he's not doing it. So to Greg's question, I don't think he's necessarily being hindered here. I don't think Bam was being hindered either in another way other than just not getting great playing time, but he was backing up Kelly Olynyk. He was backing up Hassan Whiteside. Now with Precious, he's backing up Olynyk again. He's backing up Bam to some degree too. I don't know. I wouldn't replace either of those players with Precious. Like, I think Kelly just does more as a shooter, and you need him out there because of his playmaking. An ability that just, you know, Precious does not have at this point in his career. If he starts to develop these things, then he'll probably get more playing time later on. Right now, he's just not ready, in my opinion, to be a full-time starter. I'll answer some questions about Gabe Vincent and more on the next segment here on Locked On Heat. But first, you should grab yourself a Built Bar because it's the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. 18 amazing flavors. You should probably try them all. And you can when you build your own box. It's a great feature. I love it. And they're all covered in 100% chocolate. And they're all soft and easy to chew. So you don't even know that you're eating a protein bar. But you are. And they're great for you. They're great for health conscious people in general. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight, they've got all the right nutrients that you're looking for. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high taste. So grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's a different promo code. So listen, use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Continuing on with some of your listener questions, this next one comes in from Patty, who writes in, should we convert Gabe Vincent's contract? He's been bad, but sometimes he's not, and it confuses me something fierce. And Patty, I am right there with you. It's really tough for me to kind of get a gauge of what Gabe Vincent is going to do from game to game. Like he was heralded as a shooter when he was brought onto the team. I thought that was all he was capable of doing. But over the last couple games, he's been really good defensively. Like he had a number of turnovers he forced. He was able to initiate a fast break, get an easy layup because he forced a steal. He did the same thing against Fred VanVleet last week, and when he was terrorizing the Toronto Raptors, he struggled from the field. He was only 1 of 4 from three-point range against the Hawks, but he was still a plus 16, second best on the team because of his overall impact defensively. He's not great on offense. I don't know if he's just focusing on the defensive end of things so much that maybe his shot is struggling a little bit, but either way, he's been really good. So do you convert his contract? You can't. You can't. I think the Heat front office, first of all, they're full. You'd have to waive a current player, probably Chris Silva. Your two-way contracts are Max Strus and Gabe's. And so you want that kind of flexibility that comes, especially if you have to make a midseason trade for a certain player. Maybe you have an open roster spot, then you convert Vincent's contract. That makes sense. But right now, he's a two-way player. He's going to have to stay that way. I just don't see any other option unless you cut a player. And I just don't think Miami sees that as being something they are forced to do right now. You can still get playing time out of him. You can still play him for a couple games and get the most out of him during those opportunities and hope that he continues to show improvement in practice and things. Because right now, you can't convert his contract. You don't want to lose him for nothing. And so you want him to still be part of the team to continue to learn, and you want to monitor his development because he is trending in the right direction. So that's important for this Heat franchise to know that they can watch him and see him develop and that he's growing as a result of their teaching. So this next question comes in from Astro Jimmy, who writes, at this moment, who is more expendable, Kendrick Nunn or Tyler Hero? And boy, is that a tough question. I have to say, and I can't even believe I'm answering this considering where Kendrick was just a few weeks ago. But given how Miami has found a way to win over the last few games without Tyler Hero, that Tyler is still appearing to be much more limited as a player right now at this point in his career, and that Kendrick has shown recently improvement defensively, improvement as a playmaker, and still some consistent scoring. Right now, not as far as who has the greater ceiling or who makes the team better down the road, right now, this moment, I would say the more expendable of the two is Tyler Hero. And I can't believe I'm saying it. Like, I just feel like Kendrick provides another level as far as that versatility is concerned that Tyler can. And because of it, he makes this team better. Like, that's what he's done over the last few weeks. And yeah, a part of that is certainly having Jimmy Butler on the road and having him be everything that he's capable of being and averaging a triple-double, et cetera. All those are true. At the same time, I think Kendrick is also providing a huge boost. Right now, look at tonight's game. Without Jimmy in the lineup, you had Kendrick chipping in 7 rebounds, coming up with big plays, making key blocks, and having good defensive possessions there. No one saw that coming. No one saw that a year ago. He has struggled so much as a player, from the player he was as a consistent scorer and then all of a sudden struggling with injury and consistency right before the All-Star break last season. Of course, then in the Orlando bubble, he's nowhere near the player he was following his COVID diagnosis. How much of that is a factor, I still don't know. But he struggled at the start of this season. He put in the work. And one of the things that I've talked about before is how much Eric Spoelstra loves Kendrick Nunn. The way he talks about him because of his grit and tenacity and everything else. I don't know. I just feel like this Heat team would probably be better having Kendrick Nunn on it than Tyler Hero, which is a shame to say because I thought Tyler was going to take a bigger leap, but he's been limited by injury. His role has been changed, and so I just have an issue with that. But it's also leads to this next question then from Marcelino, who writes, would you consider giving up Tyler in a trade for John Collins? I guess. Oh, I answer first and foremost, but say quantify everything by adding that I don't think there's any need for Tyler Hero in Atlanta. They've got Kevin Herter there. They've got Trae Young there. Obviously, they've got Chris Dunn. They've got other guards there that they feel comfortable with. I don't think there's any need for a guy like Tyler. As good a player as he is, as good a six-role player as he might, a six-man role that he might fill, I just don't think that they'd be looking to him as a centerpiece of any trade for John Collins. They would probably want draft picks and or a power player to kind of fill in the gap that Collins would vacate. So that makes more sense to me. Probably Precious Achiuwa. And then salary filler and a couple draft picks for a guy like Collins, which, you know, that raises the price tag so high that I'm not sure it's worth exploring. So in theory, would you trade a guy like Tyler? I guess, but I don't think either team would be interested in doing so. From Miami's perspective, from Atlanta's perspective, you don't necessarily need Tyler, so no. From Miami's perspective, you would do everything possible to avoid having to include Tyler because he just fits this team better. If you're able to get Collins in, then you've got, 4 or 5 players under 25 that are your core moving forward. Bam, Kendrick Nunn. You know, if you can re-sign him, you got Tyler Hero, you got Precious Achiuwa. And Collins. That's a pretty good roster. That's a young core that beats almost any, if not every team in the league. So, yes, you'd consider giving him up, but you try hard as hell not to do so. This next question comes in from Miami Sports Vibes, who asks, Andre playing the 4 down the stretch in that Jay Crowder role to close games. Is that sustainable for the rest of the season? I think so. I think it is. I look at, you know, what he was doing last season, even when Crowder was getting more playing time, when he was starting, that closing unit still included Andre Iguodala. It did so in the playoffs too. I just think that Spo feels very comfortable going with Andre and relying on that big game experience, that playmaking ability, the fact that he can do more offensively than Crowder ever could. He can make the right pass. He can make the right read. He's more gifted as an offensive playmaker than Crowder was and is. And so I feel like right now, if you look at the roster without Crowder, without Derrick Jones Jr., and you look at all the other options available, yeah, who else are you going to feel comfortable with? I think his defense and versatility is better than Kelly's. Even though I think Kelly is improving in that general vicinity. To me, I think Andre is going to continue to play that role unless you're able to acquire somebody down the road. At that point, then the question changes, and I don't know who you acquire, whether or not they'd be able to challenge and duplicate what Andre does. And if that's the case, yeah, then you'd probably go with them. Stay tuned for tomorrow's show. Again, a reminder that I'll be talking with Nikias Duncan of BasketballNews.com. I'll also be recapping both of Miami's remaining games before the All-Star break, so make sure you stay tuned for those. Just a reminder, you can always reach me via email at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat, or you can always send me a direct message. Of course, please be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.
Crack it up, D.